Welcome to the Plant Grow REIT podcast.
Welcome to the Plant Grow REIT podcast. I'm Dev, and today I'm joined by two of my colleagues to talk about the differences in workplace culture, ethics, and education in Australia versus overseas. To start off, can you both introduce yourself?
My name is Krishan. I'm an accountant in the group. I never worked overseas before, but actually I have really good information and also well connected with the people who work overseas in Sri Lanka. I'm originally from Sri Lanka, sorry, I think I should have said that before. Mm-hmm. And I have really good knowledge about how things happening in Sri Lanka, the work culture, education, ethics. And obviously, my first work experience, I only work in Australia. I have really good, more than 5 to 6 years experience in working in Australia. Yes, and yeah, I'm happy to talk about more in the near future. Yep.
Yeah, my name is Leonard, and I'm working as a senior accountant here in Entry Group. And I'm originally from China, and I do have a working experience back in China and Hong Kong. But unlike I working as an accountant back home, I was working as in the banking industry to provide the financial service. So it's quite different in terms of a working culture and working environment between Australia and China or Hong Kong. So yeah, we'll discuss that in further.
And my name is Dev. I work as an accountant here. And I am originally from Nepal. I do not have any working experience back in Nepal, but I do have some experience setting up a business, and then how to deal with the government, all that offices and other businesses too. And I know how things work, so I can shed some light over there too. So have you worked overseas before? What did you do?
I reckon I can go with this one. So as I mentioned, I working in both Hong Kong and mainland China. But even though it's two different places, but the working culture and the working environment is pretty similar to each other. So pretty Asian, like East Asian style. Mm-hmm. And I would say the difference between China and here in Australia is like, it's more like work-life balance. Back in China, it's kind of feeling that as a person, you put all yourself into the work, and you barely get your time for the family or for your friends, your families, or even like for your kids. Because I always got questioned, like especially when I just returned back to Australia, I always got questioned like, why are you thinking to come back to Australia? I'll say like, if you can imagine if you yourself working from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., like 6 days a week, then you probably will make your decision like to get some of your life back, like to come back to Australia.
Yeah. How is it in Sri Lanka?
Yes. As I mentioned before, I don't have a working experience in Sri Lanka, but I responsibly saw some information from my friends yesterday. So mm-hmm. just for this podcast.
Yeah.
Back in the day, actually, when in terms of the technology they use in the workplaces, actually, they're not far behind from Australia. Pretty much they have really good technology and good updated software, as good system and everything. But in terms of the efficiency, even with this latest technology, there's a big difference in the garment sector. But private sector is really good. They actually, because they're a profit-driven organization, the garment sector actually has like very poor productivity, but they're working hard to improve that one. And other thing is, I found about this training. You know, most of the time back in the day, when you go to the work at Sri Lanka, you get the proper training. The training actually only the work-related training. But I know this is not an uncommon thing in Australia, but now I heard like they're actually having like, you know, personal building training, building up work culture and stress management. They outsource like different counselors to train their staff inside of the organization. So which is really good. Back in the day, I think few organization was doing those training, but now actually getting like next step of doing that, so which is a good progress for them. And other interest point is culture diversity. You know, many overseas, if you go to Sri Lanka, if you go to the organization, the majority of employees are locals, right? Let's say like 95%. Yeah. But here it's totally different. You can see the more cultural diversity, which is good for any organization. More, it increases the innovation, it helps you to build up the organization's reveal more opinion, different opinion. And because I believe back in Sri Lanka, it's pretty much they have the same kind of opinion because everyone actually grew up in the same society, same cultural background, pretty much they have the same kind of mindset. Yeah. So which is not that great for the organization, especially when in terms of the innovation. And also if the company challenge or they need to find a solution, for example, like how to compete with the competitor or something like that. If the people have a different opinion regarding the how to face challenges, I believe that you should have really good, strong culture diversity in the working place. But in Australia, it's one of the best assets in Australian organizations have. They have more people from the different backgrounds, which is good for the organization. So I think these are the three main differences I found out when comparing the overseas workplaces and with the Australian workplaces. Yeah.
Nepal, like you said, how in China people work a lot. Nepal, I always call my mom and she works, my sister works over there. And I always ask them, what are you doing today? They're always out. They're never at work. I'm like, the productivity is very low in Nepal compared to what I see in Australia. Everyone is just driven, works. They come to work in time, 9 o'clock. In Nepal, it's different. We have a lot of holidays. We do have a six-day work week, like how it is Monday here. We have Sunday over there. Saturday is the only day that's a day off. We have 6 days work days, but still the productivity is very low because there's so much public holidays. Everyone is just out, functions everywhere. Yeah, it's very different in that aspect over there. And I think that's why my sister was working in NAB over here and she left Australia. And she's like, nah, can't do it.
Yeah, that's quite challenging, especially if you have that experience and when you return back to makes life so challenging.
The other fact is, that most of the people coming to Australia are expecting the good living condition. But work culture is one of the key factors inside of that good living conditions. I believe you can have good work-life balances, good education system in Sri Lanka, back in Sri Lanka as well. But in terms of job opportunities and other economic side and everything, I believe there's a significant difference in Australia than the Sri Lanka. So that's the main reasons the people actually migrating from Sri Lanka to Australia. And I rarely heard people actually going back to Sri Lanka from Australia, but I know a few people, but that they have their own reasonable reason with that. So I'm not against with that. Yes, unless you have a really good reason, you need to, yeah. And also other thing is, I believe every country had their own system. So we need to respect the system. You need to think about how to improve your organization, how to improve your education system, legal system, political system, rather than thinking about from your personal perspective. Yes.
Actually, I just come up with one funny comparison. When working in China, there's one time that I had really bad cold and I had a fever. And I called my manager and said, I need to get a day off. I can't really work. And she got back to me you have the fever, but all right, you can get the dripping and you can have your medicine, but it's not harming that you come back to work. your arm is not broken, your leg is not broken, you can still work. I was like, but like I'm really bad with that. I'm really tired. And but the other comparison is like when I remember Andrea make the post like in the team said, if you're not feeling well, you shouldn't expect to work. I feel that's really different between China and Australia in terms of working culture. That if you're like in Australia, if you're unwell, then you should take rest. You should like come back to work when you are 100%. But in China, it's kind of like if you're not 100%, but you can still work, then you need to work. So that's really give me lots of shock on that in between of it.
In terms of opportunities, like why do you think people come here and from overseas and work here in Australia? Like all, not only in accounting, just everywhere, industry.
In America, they say the land of opportunities, America. Mm-hmm. But I would say like Australia is a land of opportunities.
Australia is a land of opportunities.
Yes, because it's so many opportunities you can see here. Like it doesn't matter any place you want to go, any sector, education, legal, banking, anywhere, there's still like every day, the opportunity is actually booming. It's not actually, you're not going to stop because there's so much to improve in any country. But as the country improving, like it creates a lot of job opportunities as well. Yeah. And the system here is really good. For example, like, let's say like when you work in the workplace, like efficiency, the system has been made to utilize 100% of the time. And I think it's one of the main reason is actually efficiency is going up and the human resource management. And I'm not blaming the system in Sri Lanka, but I personally feel like, and also most of the people mentioned that, as I mentioned before, even if you had the good resources, like technical, good software to manage the time and also good system to control the human resource, but there's still like there's some loopholes happening. Like they need to address those ones. For example, like when you have really good software to track your time, progress, and productivity day, but people still like try to find the loophole with the system, and they try to use those loopholes to get their own benefits. But they need to look at the big picture here, because if you give the good output for the organization, and you will get the benefit eventually as well. So that's what's going to happen. So when comparing with these conditions in Australia, I personally have feel like people actually working as a team to achieve a same goal, so which is really good, because they have understanding that if we achieve this goal, it will eventually benefit for us, not only me, for the whole, every team member in the organization. So yes, that's one of the interesting I noted.
For me, like, I'll probably consider in like more narrow and like more personal aspect. Like, I mean, from here, like we know that Australian government announced a legislation last year, oh, there's a disconnect from the work after you finish your work hours. And I feel this give the respect to the individual as an employee, that you have been respected, you have your own life, you got to spend time with your child, especially I had my baby girl from last year. And now I realize that I do actually need some time for my family and to accompany with her when she grow up. But it's kind of like, I feel it's kind of similar between China, Sri Lanka, and Nepal. Either the employee or the society do not respect of those rights. Like people just keep working really hard, but well, they're working hard for the family 100%, but also they sacrifice the time spending with their families and their little ones. And I think that's something like which Australian working environment or the working place here get respect to the employee or as an individual.
Yeah. There's a bank in front of my house in Nepal, and we deal with that bank like on a daily basis back home. and we know them pretty well, right? And they're always complaining. They come here like at 7 a.m., 8 a.m., and they're there till 9 p.m. at night because there's just so much work. There's not enough people to finish the task yet. The balance over there is a bit out of whack. Yeah.
Yeah, because last Christmas when I returned back to China, I have some chat with my friends and still working in China, and like similar like the bank in front of your home is like my friends, they worked from probably go to like leave the home at 7:30 or even 7, and come back home at 8 or 9. So before they left the home, the kids still asleep, and when they get home, the kids are still asleep. So they barely have the opportunity or chance to spend with their kids or to watch their kids grow. So, and it's also actually pushed the pressure like to the other generation, like my mom and my parents' generations. So they have to help, have to help my generation to looking after their grandkids. So they don't have the time to spending like for their retirement. So it's kind of like not just one single generation, it's become two generations issue.
Yeah.
Another thing that you need to mention is that the people actually who are planning or already who they are planning to come to Australia, the advice I could give is like don't think about that job pride, because in Sri Lankan culture they think about the pride of what they do. Because the best thing I have seen in Australia, every job is valued here, so everyone has a opportunity, and also everyone need to have some kind of talent to do any kind of job. So that's a very good thing, because that's the thing. Most of the people coming from Sri Lanka, they think, okay, if I work as a cleaner, it's actually downgrading myself. And because back in Sri Lanka, maybe he's a bank manager, or maybe engineer, doctor. Even my brother-in-law, actually, he used to work in Sri Lanka as a doctor, but now he's a GP. But before he came, before he became a GP, he worked in so many places as a cleaner, as a childcare assistant, different places, because you need to keep your pride somewhere else in order to improve yourself in Australia. I know eventually you can go to your dream job, but you need to, because other good thing is if you want to get the experience, because you just came to Australia, you need to acknowledge the system, how things works here and everything. I think best thing is to do whatever like works available. So in that way, at that stage, you can understand the system, how things work, how system work, and it's a good experience. So any work experience is valuable in here in Australia. So I think that's one of the advice I should, and I would love to give anyone who's planning to come to Australia from Sri Lanka or any other country, any other that part of the world. So I think that's something you need to keep there in mind. Yeah.
Yeah, the remuneration-wise, Australia is pretty good, yeah, compared to overseas. Anything you do over here, you can make good living out of it. I know, even for a niche market, I know someone who used to sell ice cream. Just she used to do it from her home, I would say. But yeah, she was doing pretty well. She quit her job because of her selling ice cream. So anything we do here is pretty good. I think it's a land of opportunity in Australia.
Yes, sure. And also I would add something. As I mentioned before, every job is valued. Mm-hmm. Like every job is important. Every job is matters. So that's the thing. That's a really good thing I have seen in Australia. Back in Sri Lanka, I'm not blaming the system, I'm not blaming the culture or something like that, but I believe, like, for example, like there's a big difference in the doctor and let's say carpenter. There's a big difference. You can't even imagine the difference. But here, carpenter, doctor, what's the difference? Yeah. They pretty much they have the same level of work conditions. I mean, like they have really good earnings financially. In terms of financial, it's really good. They're valued here, so everyone's important. But back in over there, that's a different. So if you come that kind of mentality in your head with that mentality to Australia, I don't think so you can survive here like that. You need to have very open-minded with the jobs you do, and every job is important. Yeah.
I just want to put one more thing. It's like, well, like Australian like working environment is fantastic. It's good, like comparing to lots of other countries. But I just want to emphasize one point, is that working in Australia, yeah, you finish work from 9 to 5, but during that period from 9 to 5, it's very intense. Yeah. So you have to 100% focus, even 120% focus, to complete your job. It's not like, say, like in China, you can probably like have some not so much focus during the time, but here in Australia, my feeling is like it's very intense, and majority of lunchtime is like 30 minutes, and you go have a quick lunch and then come back and get back to work, focus on that, and which is quite different compared to like to other countries. I mean, like especially compared to China. So I mean, like for someone who's coming to Australia, I was like, yeah, it's good culture, it's good place to working with, but it's not the place that you can be like relaxed on working still making like a good load of money. You have to be put yourself 120% into the work,
yeah,
and in order to achieve your to satisfy your role, I would say.
Yeah, I had a similar experience. During COVID, I had gone back for 2.5 years and back to Nepal due to family reasons. And I had to look after the business, family business. And the way it was running was not really good, you know. So I had to restructure the whole thing, set up a new company and everything. And because of that, I learned a lot, like how other offices and everything works in Nepal. And yeah, dealing with just to let's say, for example, I need to get some license and permits, import export license, right? I have to go to the government office. I go there at 11 o'clock in the morning, peak office hours. There's no one there. They have gone for coffee break. Like there's one guy holding the fort. It's not, you know, the work ethic is just out of whack over there.
Yeah, similar situation in Sri Lanka as well. If you go to the garment sector, speak about this one, I need to tell, like, I'm not telling the bad thing. I'm just giving the opportunity to improve or something like that. I'm not giving, I'm just suggesting. In the garment sector, actually, it's totally different. I mean, similar situation, like, the actual productivity is pretty much really, really low, extremely low. They do their own private stuff at workplace. Mm-hmm. And no one is supervising. And the reason is, I believe the government sector pretty much is focusing on citizens, that welfare stuff. Like, they're not profit-driven organization. Most of the, for example, let's say the council, if you go to the council, if you want to get a permit for something, you want to get permits for some important thing, you have to wait in the queue for like 3 hours, 4 hours, sometimes the whole day for like 10 minutes work. Because that kind of inefficiency over there, because that's why, like, I heard like they try to implement new system, for example, like try to integrate with the new technology, for example, like if you want to get the permit, you can do it online form. That is a very common thing in Australia. You can do everything online, but not in Sri Lanka. You had to go in as a person to that place and you had to fill the form manually. It takes time. Some reason they didn't want to change the system. And also I found out if you want to get the passport, now you can do online form and you can collect from the passport office, which is a really good improvement. So personally, I want to see that thing happening everywhere in that government sector, not only public. But when it comes to the private sector, totally different. It's more efficient because that private sector, the profit-driven organization, they need to increase efficiency in order to make profit. So that's why actually they try to push or maybe try to invent new system to improve the efficiency. So actually it's really good. And the lastly, I would like to say that most interesting part I found out working in Australia, I think I mentioned this one before, the cultural diversity. It's like you can have, for example, like let's say that Entry Group, we have like really good cultural diversity. We can have like we have so much people from the different background. It's like you're going to have the world tour in one day. Like you can have so much people. You can talk about the food, culture, place you visited, everything. Like, for example, if you need any advice on any culture, find a person. We have everything in one roof. Like that's something very interesting. Back in our country, like as I said before, like most of the employees are locals, 95% like Sri Lanka. I know they have a little bit differences, like in terms of the religion, culture, but not like in here. So I believe we need to have that kind of cultural diversity in Sri Lanka as well. But in order to do that one, we need to change the system over there. Yeah, that's my suggestion, and I would like to see it happening in Sri Lanka. Yeah,
I'm just sort of curious, like as us three of come from different culture background and different countries. I mean, for myself, I find myself sometimes well challenging to adapting to working in Australia, to adapting to working in adapting Australian culture, like working culture. So say like example, like in China, like in the lunchtime, so we have here, as I mentioned, like we have 30 minutes lunch, quick lunch, then go back to work. But in China, lots of like workplace, they have like 1 hour to 2 hours lunch, and people will literally bring something and then sleep. sleeping in the companies. So which like, because literally like is they say that they can't work properly if they do not have the nap in between, and which like. For me, I'm lucky enough because I never get adapted to have the nap habits, even when I work back in China. But it's kind of like shock that when I first joined Australian workforce and I saw people have the sandwich or have the cucumber or carrots and then get back to work, I was a big shock. And I was kind of trying to, because for me, I have a big lunch, so every time I need another big coffee to wake me up after lunch. So I'm just sort of curious, like for you two, is there any challenging to adapting Australian working culture?
When I was in Nepal, I never worked. And I came here when I was 19 and got my first job in a restaurant. And it was very challenging in the start. Just the work ethics, even in a restaurant, you know, you have to work hard. You have to be on time. If they say come at 5 o'clock, then you got to be there at 5 o'clock, not like 5:30. So punctuality, I had to improve on, because it's part of the culture, you know. Just because of the traffic there over there. Me myself personally, I never had a problem with punctuality, but I still had to improve in that aspect. And what are the challenges?
So you're pretty comfortable to working out as your first job.
Yeah.
What about you, Christian?
Yeah, my first job was working at a factory, actually. It's a painting factory. It was very challenging as well, my first job. Started at the 2 o'clock in the morning. And after that, I had to go to my uni as well. It was really challenging because as I mentioned before, I never had a work experience from Sri Lanka. That was my first work experience. So I had to change my whole life to adjust that work, actually. Waking up like 1 o'clock in the morning and starting work at 2 o'clock in the morning, it was something actually I wasn't expecting before I came from Australia here. But I understood myself really well. I took that one as a really good work experience, a good life experience as well. As you mentioned before, I had to be punctual with my time. But I'm really good at the timing as well, so it wasn't a big challenge for me. And other thing is, the other challenge I found out is study while you're working. So you have to have a really good balance with that.
Yeah, that's a big challenge.
That's a big challenge. Like, you have to earn money at the same time you have to study as well. Because study important, at the same time the work also important, otherwise you can't survive. Luckily, I had my family here, but I never asked any financial help from them. So I had to earn myself, and I had to pay for my day-to-day expenses, studies as well. But it was a very challenging part. But somehow I managed it. I never thought I could manage it at first. But I balanced that one, and the social life as well. You know, that when you are like 20 to 27, you need to have some kind of a social life. Not something you must have, but it's good to have a good social life. Social life, study, work, and it's really hard to balance everything. But you have to balance. So somehow I managed, and even though it was a big challenge for me, somehow I managed. I'm glad I did that one. It helped me a lot afterwards to manage my other work tasks, like, for example, like working here now as an accountant. I still use those experience I had like those days. It's good to have the balancing. I think personally, I believe it's a balancing is the hardest challenge. And if you manage the balancing, you can do anything in your life. Yeah.
So I reckon all of us not really want to go back to where we come from to work. But is there anywhere else in this world you want to go? To work there and live there.
I actually, sometimes I think, you know, is it really, shall I just go back and live in Nepal? Yeah, I do want, it's a goal of mine to have something, a source of income where I can live 6 months here, 6 months there. Because it's a lot of sacrifice as well, because I have nobody here, it's just me. My family is over there. At the end of the day, although you make good money here in Australia, everything is expensive here. How much you save? It's everything you earn is going on rent, this, that. It's not really much of a difference. And it's a big sacrifice. So it's I always wrestle with myself. What am I doing with my life? To be honest.
Yeah, and also, I don't have any idea to going back to Sri Lanka, but I love Sri Lanka, the system, culture, and everything. But one day, actually, I thought maybe some way, like some reason, if I had to go back to Sri Lanka, if I work in the government sector, I'll be a king because my efficiency level is really good. I'm not blaming anyone. And maybe I can change the system. Obviously, not the whole system, but some part of the system. I thought like that, but as you say, like things are really getting expensive here. That's something we can't control, and also we need to spend so much money on the rent, day-to-day expense and everything. So that's the only part of, like, bad thing happening here. But I think it's actually happening everywhere in the world at the moment. Even in Sri Lanka, because, you know, when comparing to the food and living expenses in Sri Lanka is very cheap, but actually I heard like it's getting more expensive as well. So my point is, like, doesn't matter where you go now, you have to face the inflation. You can't change it. So better thing is start earning and find a really good work-life balance and enjoy life. Yeah.
I actually want to go to UK, to work and live there for a couple of years. I mean, working in UK and then during the holiday, you get opportunity to visit the whole Europe. Other than here, we in Australia, we have to fly long journeys till there, and probably only have months or two to spend in there, and not really get deep dive into what the European culture looks like. So actually, if I got an opportunity, I really want to like work in the UK or Europe for a couple of years. That would be amazing.
Well, that's good, actually. That's good to some kind of different experience. I wouldn't mind, honestly. I just wanted to like work like 6 months or something like that. Just, you know, you can get to know the culture, working conditions and everything. So I think that's that would be a really good experience. Yeah, I wouldn't mind, honestly.
Okay. Any piece of advice you would want to give for the newcomers here in Australia?
I think I already asked that question early on. But yeah, if I summarize my answer again, I would like to say, like, keep your pride aside and get experience from any work you find first. And don't think about that anyone will judge you by what you are doing in here. The system is totally different than the Sri Lanka. So just try to get more experience on any work. Try to earn some money, get experience, and also then you can eventually find your dream job. So don't make any rush mistakes and try to be more open-minded. And this Australia is, as I mentioned before, land of opportunities. It's hard to not to find a job here. You can find good jobs here. Yeah.
My suggestion is like just don't eat too much carb during your lunch. And yeah, and also just be 120% focused while you're working. And probably for like Asian culture people, is come to Australia, that we need to be more proactive. Be more proactive in terms of like responsibility, proactive in terms of like events in the community or even in the company itself. So we need to be more proactive in being more extrovert in terms of introvert. Because I know like majority of the people from my culture, like our culture is very introvert culture, but it's not really working well here in Australia, because you have to show yourself. You have to be more proactive to step up, not like just standing there and wait someone to come to you. You need to stand up and come to the people if you need anything.
Yeah, I agree with what you said. We have a lot of people from Asia. I mean, our cultural background as well. We are a bit introvert. We don't like to try new things, like how we are doing this podcast for the first time. Yeah, it's it does help us to develop. Yeah, that's an advice for myself to just do new things and things will work out. Thank you, Krishan and Leonard, for being part of this discussion today and sharing your insights and experiences. Thank you for listening to this episode of Plant, Grow, Reap. Subscribe whenever you get your podcast, and we'll see you next time.
See ya. Thank you.